You pray that the parking spot will be open. Lord, let me find a parking spot near the door. I have really bad news for you this morning. I don't think God answers those prayers. I really don't. I'm sorry. I know that's terrible, but I don't know that God answers those prayers. But, you know, there are those areas of our lives that we would just love to be able to have control over, right? I mean, some of us want control more than others of us. Some of us are really kind of fanatical about wanting control. But if you could choose just one area, one place where you have total control over everything to do with that area, everything else may not be under control, but that area would be. Would it be maybe work? You'd like to have control over what happens with work. Maybe it would be your spouse or your family, and you would say, I want control over that area of my life. If only I could control my spouse. Oh, how often people have wished that. Oh, maybe even narrow it down a little bit more and say, if I only had control over my kids. You know, if I could just control what they do. Susan and I have often talked about the fact that we would make great decisions for our son if he would just let us. But he doesn't seem to want to do that. I don't know why, but we would make great decisions for him. You know, ultimately, most of our desire to control can be traced back to fear. We may be afraid that someone is going to do something at work that will reflect badly on us. So we want to control them or that setting or maybe even who we work with and who we don't work with. We fear our children will make bad decisions. And so we want to make those decisions because we know the negative impact some of those decisions could have on their lives. And we think if only we could decide for them, it would be so much better. Somehow we think that if we could only control people and circumstances enough, then everything would be okay. It's the unknown that we fear, the lack of control, and our imagination runs rampant with the potential results of situations or what could be happening. Many of us live a long distance from other people that we care deeply about, and we're, that unknown, the distance and the unknown of not being able to be with them causes us to fear. You know, that fear, that desire to control impacts our spiritual lives as well. The picture of baptism that we just saw is one which fills some people with fear. In fact, some of you sitting here right now are like, there is absolutely no way he is ever getting me in that water. Because you saw that that person loses control. They give up. They surrender control when they allow themselves to be put under the water. I told each of them that I've not yet lost anyone. So far, perfect record. Who knows next time? But the fear of being out of control. In the very act of baptism, perhaps, or in areas of our lives, we fear losing control. But today, as we talk about those choices that we make, where we choose things that will impact our lives and make a difference in our lives in terms of how we live and the ability of God to use us in His kingdom, today we come to the second choice, and it is choosing surrender over control. I want us to look at Galatians 2:20 this morning. We're going to keep this short because lunch is waiting. But I have a couple of things I'd love to share with you. And out of Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And out of that brief verse, I see three things that we have to be willing to do, decisions we have to be willing to make in order to surrender, to choose surrender over control. And the first one of those is that we have to go to the cross. We have to surrender our past. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, and He is the one who lives through me. The Bible calls us to understand a great mystery. It is acknowledging the fact that we are spiritually dead and that we may find life only in Christ. We talked about that the baptistry is a picture of a grave. When we go into that grave, we go in already as dead people. That is in a picture. Now, as I said, it doesn't have any spiritually saving properties, but the picture is that we go into that grave as a spiritually dead person, and that it is only as we receive, we're buried just like every other dead person is buried, and we are buried, and then we are raised to life. We find life in Christ. Our rebellion against God, that we are in rebellion against Him. Every single one of us has been in rebellion against God. We want to do things our own way. We want control. It is that spiritual issue of control that we want to control things. We want to tell God how He may save us. We want to tell God what we need to do and what we don't need to do. We want to tell God where we need to go, what we don't need, where we don't need to go. We want to be in control. And that rebellion against God creates death. It causes us to be spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So every single one of us starts out spiritually dead. We have no life. In Galatians, Paul calls us to identify with the author of life, to find life in Him. When he says that we are crucified with Christ, he means that we give up our efforts to please God on our own. We don't earn our salvation. And that's our attempt at control. Earning your salvation, saying, here's what I'll do for you, God. I've been a good person. If you've said the words, I hope I get into heaven because I am a good person, you are trying to control your spiritual destiny and you are dead in your sins. Because the only way to get to heaven, to have salvation, to live for all eternity, is to give up, is to surrender, and to accept what only He can give. When our efforts to please God are the basis upon which we hope, then we're trying to control God, and He calls us instead to accept His sacrifice. Most of us spend a good deal of time dealing with our past. We live with it every day. We're haunted by our past mistakes. We know and recognize our shortcomings, and most of us have a picture of a past failing that continues to come into our minds periodically. And we think about that past failing, and we think about how we hope no one ever finds out about that past failing. And yet, over and over again, those things we wish to control, we see them slip out of our control. And the past, as we've seen recently, the past comes to the surface. And those who have thought those past sins were buried and gone find out that those voices may not have been stifled after all. And God says, don't try to hide it. Surrender it. The way to solve those issues, the way to solve the issue of the past is not to hide it. It's not to cover it up and hope no one ever sees. It is to surrender it and to give it to Him. And surrendering, choosing surrender over control calls us to let go. It doesn't mean that the past has no consequences in the present, but it means we stop trying to control it and instead surrender it. The second thing is we're not only called to go to the cross, we're called to live by faith. That is, to surrender our future. Paul goes on to say that the life I now lead in the flesh, I lead by faith in the Son of God. Do we really trust God for our future? In the baptism, I always try to say, as the person is raised, that they're raised to walk in newness of life. That comes from Romans 6:4, where Paul is describing the act of baptism. And baptism isn't just about being buried. Thankfully, and I know you guys are thankful, we didn't just put them down and then walk away. They'd still be floating around in there. But we raise them. They are raised to walk in a new kind of life, to walk with Him into a future that is a certain future. You may say, that's impossible. The future is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen today. And you'd be exactly right, except we know who holds the future and that we can trust Him regardless of what comes. The certainty isn't in the circumstance. The certainty is in the One who holds us. And He is rock solid. You can trust Him with your future. Do you feel like the future is uncertain? Do you feel like you have to control things so that they will turn out the way you want them to turn out? How about surrendering your future and trusting that God has it under control no matter what comes? And then the final thing is that we not only go to the cross and we don't only live by faith, we also trust God's love. And in that, we surrender everything and everyone that we love. The last part of this verse reminds us that God loves us and gave Himself for me. He loves me. He loves you. No matter who you are, no matter your past, no matter your future, God loves you. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him not only with your own life. For most of us, it's hard to give our own lives. It's even harder to give everybody else that we love over to Him. He loves every single one of us. We don't have to control. We can trust the One who says He loves us. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God and He will make your paths straight." Trust. In each of these areas, in each area of surrender, that very first step is the step of trust. I step out in trust. I trust God to forgive me for my past. I trust God to take care of my future, and I trust Him because He loves me. He loves you. We can trust Him with everything and everyone. He is worthy of our trust. And He says, if you will surrender and trade the control that is just an illusion anyway. Control is an illusion. Trade the control for surrender, which ironically comes with the guarantee of God's certainty for all of life. Let's pray.